Hi, I'm Brian Michael Hage, and this is the Christos Vinci Podcast, a member of Disciples with Microphones and the Christos Vinci Network. Podcast number 12.
Christos Vinci, Christos Regnat, Christos Imperat.
Hello there and welcome. Today is Wednesday, February 1st, 2006. The Wednesday of the fourth week of Ordinary Time. And tomorrow we'll be celebrating a major feast in our Catholic calendar, the Presentation of the Lord. Now, we all know it's not a holy day of obligation, but it is still a major feast, to the point where that if this feast, the Presentation of the Lord, falls on a Sunday, it will take place over the regular numbered Sunday of Ordinary Time. Now, in the Tridentine calendar, it is known as the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and takes that same priority if it happens to fall on a Sunday. The feast was also once known as the familiar Candlemas Day. Now, the Mass for all of these are very similar. The last time Presentation / Purification fell on a Sunday was February 2nd, 2003. At that time, I was the music director at Holy Name of Jesus Church on the east side of Providence, and we had the 9 o'clock Mass in English for the Presentation of the Lord, and then the 11 o'clock Tridentine Latin Mass that same day for the Purification of Mary. Now, incidentally, this date will not fall on a Sunday again until, believe it or not, 2014. Both of these Masses start in a similar fashion. There's a procession in a remote place. Now, in the case of Holy Name, that remote place was the Lady Chapel, which is adjacent to the main church, connected by a short corridor. All gather into the chapel. They hold unlit candles. And as the candles are being lighted, all sing the antiphon, Ecce Dominus Noster, cum virtute veniet et illuminet oculos suvorum suorum, Alleluia. Or, the Lord will come with mighty power and give light to the eyes of all who serve him, Alleluia. The priest then blesses the candles, and once they're blessed, everybody processes into church while singing the antiphon, Lumen ad revelationem gentium, et gloriam plebis tuae Israel. Or, Christ is the light of the nations, and the glory of Israel, his people. And that gets sung actually as a response, and there are verses that are taken from the Nunc Dimittis, or Canticle of Simeon. Nunc Dimittis, Domine, Servum Tuum, in pace. That is, now, Lord, let your servant go in peace. Once everybody's in place in the church, Mass begins as usual with the introit. There is also the option of having a solemn entrance where all the candle lighting and whatnot takes place in the church. Oh, by the way, if you are expecting me to speak on Groundhog Day, go back to sleep. A couple of weeks ago, my pastor, the iPadre, continued his podcast tour of our parish church, Holy Ghost, in Tiverton, Rhode Island. Now, in this leg of the tour, he took us into the sacristy, discussed the vestments worn by the priest at Mass. Today on our show, we're going to expand on the vestment video a little bit. We're going to be doing some organ music for you that was written by someone from our diocese who isn't Alexander Peliquin or myself. And we'll have a brand new episode of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So don't go away. We'll be back.
Do you still introduce yourself with name, parish, and table? Are you looking for that rooster that's singing Carry, Carry, Carry? Why not join me at Going Forth, the podcast dedicated to the Cursiista. We talk about holiness, formation, and evangelization. We listen to some great music, read the scriptures together, and much more. You can find us on the web at goingforth.com.
F-O-U-R-T-H.
Remember, Christ is counting on you. And De Caloris.
Yes, that is going forth. F-O-U-R-T-H. Like in the ordinal number for four. Goingforth.com. Did you ever go to Mass and find all the ministers vested? I mean all of them. I don't mean just the priest, the deacon, and the altar servers. I mean also your choir, your organist, your lector, and your extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. Have you ever found all your ministers vested? I personally have always been this firm believer that yes, all lay ministers in the liturgy should vest. Now, we're not going for the heavily clad vestiture that the priest or deacon has to go through, but some kind of a vestment. Think of this as a sacred uniform. The altar servers usually wear this full-length black-white vestment called an alb. Or they'll wear a full-length black cassock, which buttons all the way down, and on over that, a white top known as a surplice. Now that same black cassock and white surplice is what I wear when I'm at the organ console at Holy Mass. Choir should be vested in the same way. My preference would be black cassock and white surplice. However, choirs may also opt to go for the full-length one-piece robe, usually one that zippers in the front, about three-quarters of the way. And that one-piece robe will usually come in your choice of color and fabric. And often parishes will have like an official color they want to use, you know, just like a high school or a college would, which is fine. Another very common option, I see this in a lot of choirs, especially in the more traditional circuits, is to have the men in the cassock and surplice and the women in the full-length robe. You could settle for just wearing your Sunday best, but come on, admit it, nothing says ministry like a good set of vestments. Sacred music, just like the role of the priest, deacon, and servers at Mass, is a ministry. No, it's not the same ministry that performs baptisms. It's not the same ministry that hears confessions, marries couples, or says committal prayers at the grave. It's a liturgical mystery. Altar servers, also liturgical ministers, by the way. Now, anyone ever watch the Mass on EWTN? You ever notice that the Mass on EWTN, the lector and the psalmist, that is the cantor of the responsorial psalm, are also vested in cassock and surplice. Matter of fact, everyone in the sanctuary is vested. The lector and psalmist are ministers of the word, therefore a liturgical ministry. Should they vest? Absolutely. I think so. Now, there is only one church I know of where I've seen vestments on extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. And by the way, notice that exact term, extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. This has become a pet peeve of mine, because many parishes still use the term Eucharistic ministers. Wrong. The priest is the only minister of the Eucharist. We are reminded that by the Vatican, just a couple of years ago, it was mandated that we use the term extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. And notice the word extraordinary. Now, it doesn't mean that these folk are necessarily extraordinary people. I know some places where this actually exists. I won't mention the name of the parish, but it was a parish that I grew up in as a teenager, where these EMCs actually thought they were really extraordinary. No. What they mean by an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion is that lay people may be appointed to distribute Holy Communion in extraordinary circumstances. Like where if you get a situation, there's only one priest, and if he's the only one out there giving out communion, it could take as long as the rest of the Mass, especially if you got like 400, 500, 600, maybe 1,000 people attending. Now what? So due to this shortage of priests these days, the use of these EMCs are often necessary. But back to the vestments on these EMCs. For about a year or so, roughly 1989 to 1990, I was doing some substitute organist work at St. Mary's Church in Cranston, Rhode Island, which is a suburb just to the south of Providence.
Yeah, that little guy.
And this was the one and only parish where I have ever seen vested extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. They wore full-length gray robes, like the choir gown type, and it was quite nice. They fit in well, looked great in procession. But then just think about it, though. It's a liturgical ministry, very important liturgical ministry, as they, like the priest, are feeding our souls with the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope they still vest over there. I haven't been to St. Mary's in about 15 years. You know, so I'm kind of curious. And I hope they are. And if they are, keep up the good work, St. Mary's. You can bet I'm very much for a sanctuary full of vested ministers.
Listen.
Now, the vestments don't come cheap at all. I've priced them out at one point or another. You can get the choir gown type robes probably about $40 in some places.
Right.
And it's still pretty good.
Hurry,
you can get the cassock and surplice set. Usually runs about anywhere from $80 to $200 depending on where you go to get them. It's a great investment for parishes. I was lucky to have a set given to me as a gift when I was at Holy Name. It's only the second set I've owned over all these years.
Sorry, I'm good.
It's not as expensive as we'll say having to get 1,000 hardcover hymnals, you know, which in the case right there, you're dishing out about $10,000 or more. But I mean, of course it's great to wear your Sunday best at Mass. After all, it's only right. You're in the house of God. You should look your best. But nothing, absolutely nothing, beats a good set of vestments when you're in that sanctuary, proclaiming the Word of God, assisting with Holy Communion, or whatever. And nothing beats a good set of vestments when you're up in the loft, enhancing the sung prayer.
You're not fully dressed until you vest.
Hey, look who's here, folks. It's the Christos Vincit Leprechaun. So, what's new?
Not much. Hey, let me ask you something. Where can you go to find those vestments that can fit me?
Have you tried any of the smaller server vestments?
I did. They're short enough, but they're not fat enough.
Well, maybe if you stayed out of the pubs and quit loading up on ale, you'd fit in one.
Can I cut yours down to size?
No. Here's some organ music.
Thank you.
piece you just heard was my postlude for last Sunday's liturgy. As you can probably tell by the idle chat in the background amongst the many exiting, that was called O Mater Alma Providentiae, written by the late Father Norman LeBeuf, a former bigwig at the Seminary of Our Lady of Providence that used to be here in this diocese. Father LeBeuf was also an accomplished musician, and the song O Mater Alma Providentiae was written for the Our Lady of Providence Seminary. Father LeBeuf passed away in 1984. And now, time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Today's episode of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is brought to you by Inflatable Church. You want something portable for an hour, like a quick wedding where there's no church nearby, or something to make it look good by showing everyone that lovely church you always dreamed of getting married in? Well, you can use the Inflatable Church. It doesn't have a name, but go ahead and give it one. Name it after your favorite saint, or just call it the Airhead Chapel. Inflatable Church, now available at www.inflatablechurch.com. And can you believe that is a real website, by the way. I clicked on it earlier, and it's got all these different demos of the Inflatable Church. It's really funny. Today we'll be focusing on Eucharistic music in our Good, Bad, and Ugly segment today. Here we go.
The good.
Reverently receiving the Blessed Sacrament to the beautiful Ave Verum Corpus by Mozart.
The bad.
Trying to reverently receive the Blessed Sacrament while gritting your teeth to the strains of Table of Plenty.
The ugly.
Trying to reverently receive the Blessed Sacrament while gritting your teeth to the strains of Table of Plenty, only to find that the extraordinary minister of Holy Communion waiting to give you communion is none other than your local pro-choice Catholic politician. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Father Jay Finelli from iPadre Catholic Podcast.
iPadre.
Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. Drop by our site at iPadre.net. That's iPadre.net. God love you.
iPadre.
I'm Brian Michael Page, and I approve this message.
Christus Vigit is a podcast, Catholic song and liturgy. It's the things we like to speak of, and some good clean fun happening. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. Do you know the reason, y'all? Bonian Christus Vigit and hair, for Christ always conquers all.
Gotta love that Christus Vigit leprechaun. Loves to play around with my machines. But he got the message right. Go down to Podcast Alley and vote for Christus Vigit. Help us spread the word around.
Amen.
Okay. Christus Vigit is a member of
Disciples with Microphones. Individual podcasters united with a single goal: to live the new evangelization. Bringing truth to podcasting through shows such as these.
Welcome to the Weekly Roman Observer, our news commentary on the Holy Father's newspaper.
I'm Father Seraphim Bishoner, host of Catholic Under the Hood.
I am Father Stephen Cuyus, a Filipino missionary of the Sacred Heart.
My name is Greg Willett.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we welcome you once again to the Rosary Army Podcast.
This is Brian Ngo from the Verbum Domini Podcast.
This is Michael Kreidler from the Breadcast.
Dick Aloris, and welcome to Going Four. This is your host, George Lee.
Welcome to CatholicJukebox.com presents Catholic Rockers.
This is the Catholic Cast.
True Knights Combat Training. Podcasting for purity.
The Catholic Mormon Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Sarah.
My name is Lisa Marrero, and blessed to be Catholic.
DisciplesWithMicrophones.org. Baptize your earbuds.
Christus Vigit is also a member of the Christus Vigit Network, original music, parish music ministry, blog, and this here podcast. Check out our new message board too while you're at the podcast site. Color it in green for now. While it's ordinary time, come Ash Wednesday, it will turn purple. Drop us a line, or two, or three while you're there. Go to www.crystalsvinci.net. Thank you very much for joining us today. Join us again for more Crystals Vinci podcasting. I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace.
Christus Vinci, Christus Regio, Christus Impero.
Hey, what are you doing to my vestment?
Uh-oh.